Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It's a three-man booth today. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester, Paul Savage with you on this Thursday. And we are, well, we are excited to be here. It's a little nervous morning, I think. Royals baseball fresh on everybody's brain, now facing elimination. We'll get into all of that, of course, look ahead to Game 4 tonight after we look back to Game 3 last night. We'll have that for you coming up on the program today. Bottom of this hour, PJ Glasser, our betting insider, will join the show. We'll talk some football bets. We'll look ahead to the weekend, look ahead to Thursday night football tonight, see if he has any angles perhaps on these baseball playoffs. We'll have Tim Fitzgerald, buddy from GoPowerCat.com, joining us. Top of the second hour to look ahead to what should be one of the real premier games of the week, quite honestly. You've got Prime, the late night window, K-State. Didn't go well in that late night window the last time they were out there. So we'll talk to Fitz about everything going on there as well. We'll give you some Wichita Thunder hockey tickets in the program today. We'll give you some HTO in the program today in our text to win contest. All that for you. You can chime in on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP. You can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP house faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. You can get in touch with the program through our video streams, 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, X. You can leave us your voice messages on the Odyssey app, which is real easy. You just go inside the app there. You click a little microphone, and then you leave us a message and move on with your day, and we'll get to it. Jad gets those, and we'll take them over the air. Fellas, good morning.
Good to see you today, Paul. Good to be in with you. Well, Jacob, good to see you. It's been a couple of days, so glad to be back, and good to be here today.
Well, it's just, I just can't believe I'm in with two studs like you two.
Okay. Thank you
many
for that.
Many say it.
Oh, many say it. That's right.
Fellas, it's a nerve-wracking day. It's an elimination day in the postseason. Those never are fun. It's a lot more fun when you're on the other side of it. But the Royals just couldn't get it done last night. Mm-hmm. Giancarlo Stanton continues to be one of the better postseason hitters of this generation, and he gets a couple of big hits that put the Royals on the ropes. We can dissect this one, and we will. I really wish Bobby Witt Jr. would have stole that base late in the game or tried to. And then, of course, Salvador Perez singles. That would have been the game-tying run. I was a little surprised they didn't run there. I didn't have real issue with anything else Cotrero did in the game. Yankees were just one run better. You know, it's I think we're probably a whole lot more nervous and worried about this as the, you know, followers of this team than the team probably is. My guess is they're feeling okay. Didn't go their way, but you know, they got to Garrett Cole last time. I don't know. I guess initial reactions here. It's just a good baseball game, and it was tough. And it was, you know, Tommy, it was just, you got to bounce right back here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the really the biggest thing outside of Giancarlo Stanton and the big offensive game he had was really the amount of batters that the Royals walked in the course of the game.
Nine.
I mean, that was crazy. And they've done that a couple of other times over the course of this series against the Yankees. And I understand that you have to pitch some of those guys really, really carefully. You're almost pitching defensively, like Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, Stanton, others in that lineup. You've got to be really careful with the pitches that you're making with them, but far too many base runners. The fact that, you know, really there were only four hits in the game, three of them coming off the bat of Giancarlo Stanton, I mean, tells you that as far as bat to ball, the Royals pitched decently well over the course of the game with all of the pitchers that they brought out there. It was just the number of walks they had. And I think that was really, you know, obviously outside of the home run that broke the game open for the Yankees in the eighth inning, it was the walks. And that's something that they're going to have to focus on in tonight's game. You can't afford to have that many runners on base with a team like the Yankees who can drive in runs, you know, basically better than any other team in Major League Baseball.
Right. Well, Tommy hit upon the key to this game. You know, nine walks, a lot of walks. But fellas, if I was to say to you before this game was played that the Royals hold the Yankees to four hits, what are their chances of success?
I think pretty high.
I mean, pretty high, as well. I believe that would be the correct answer. So, you know, you four hits and you still end up winning the game 3-2. You know, it makes me think to myself, what a lost opportunity. And Tommy, I'm so disappointed. I know you were, I believe, in business meetings and that kind of thing, because you're an important guy and you run this place. It's really tough for me to, you know, put myself in your shoes when you look at this particular game. But I honestly believe that when we look at this game, we're going to see a chance that we could have, when I say we, the Royals could have swept this thing in two game or two games at home, swept the two games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that's fair.
Well,
the Yankees are good for a reason.
Jacob,
I think
I let
you know the walks
think
have it. The walks have been a problem. I do think you're right, Tommy. I think some of it, there is design. You're not trying to walk people, but they're clearly trying to make sure they don't give Yankees pitches to hit home runs.
Well, they're pitching around, you know, some of these guys. And even the home run against Stanton, you know, Bubich is throwing multiple breaking balls.
Yeah.
And really, I think it was the inning before when Brady Singer was in and Aaron Judge was up. And Singer got Judge to 0-2. And then just like that, it was a 3-2 full count, you know, because he's not giving him anything to hit.
And you can't.
That's the thing. Like, I'm not criticizing the game plan from the Royals.
Yeah, no. I know. That's why I'm saying it's not fair. Yeah. I don't think, to Paul's point, to just say, they should have won all three of those games. The Yankees have something to say about that
we
too.
And
they make that hard on you.
I know.
To do it. I think if, you know, if there's been a disappointing part of this series, walks are disappointing and infuriating and make you want to pull your hair out, but you can see some of the reasoning why it would be higher than normal. It's that the offense hasn't been there enough to me. Vinny Pasquantino, I would probably, with my back against the wall, if I'm Cotrero, move him down in the lineup today. I wouldn't take him out of the lineup, but I'd probably move him down in the lineup. And, you know, something, because the reality is the pitchers haven't had a chance. I don't remember a time in this series where the Royals have been ahead enough to be aggressive pitching. They have to be on eggshells pitching because every game is within a run or a tie game. You know, that's just the way this series has gone. So you can't let them, you can't just attack the Yankees lineup. They'll hit a bunch of home runs. That's what they do. So I get it on both sides. The offense is what's going to have to bail them out. You've got Waka and Cole again. Like, do you really think they're going to be as successful against Cole the second time around? I hope so. But, you know, the law of averages says they won't be. They're going to have to really take advantage with some timely hitting.
But don't you think also that, you know, you mentioned the pitching not really being able to be aggressive and go after batters for good reason, and I agree with that. But I think in the same vein, that carries over offensively. It carries over to the entire game plan for Kansas City because, like, at the very top of this, you said you really wished that Bobby Witt Jr. had stolen that base in the eighth inning. And I agree, in retrospect, you know, hindsight 2020, had he been in scoring position, Salvi would have been able to drive him in.
I thought that before the Salvi single.
I get it, but that's, like, if you're going to be defensive pitching, and that clearly was the game plan, it's been the game plan for the Royals, you've got to be a little defensive, even on the base paths as well. Like, I think that defensive mindset has extended to all facets of the game for Kansas City in this series. They weren't going to risk Witt getting thrown out at second base and not even getting a chance to drive him
in. It's a tough call. It's tough with Gurriel, who's been so effective behind Salvi. I do understand why you don't run. I was just hoping before the fact, especially when they try, I believe that they threw over to first on the first, before he even threw the first pitch to Salvi.
They did.
That opens the door a little bit more.
Look, Bobby's a great base stealer, and so I don't have an issue with him running.
He's a reckless base runner, though. He's a reckless base runner.
Like, really, in like general, if this was a random, you know, game in Kansas City in the month of July, Bobby's off. Like, Bobby's going to second.
Well, sure.
He's stealing that base, and Salvi's driving him in. But in game three of the ALDS against the Yankees, when base running, you know, has been kind of at a premium for Kansas City, and not just that, but Bobby Witt Jr., that was his first hit of the entire series.
Right.
You want to be careful with him, especially if the entire mindset has been defensive pitching around the Yankees lineup and all of that. You're going to be a little bit more careful everywhere in that game.
I think it was, don't misunderstand, it wasn't like a no-brainer, I can't believe they didn't do it. It was I was really hoping when he got to first they would do it, just because it was the eighth inning. If it was the first inning, hell no, don't send him.
Yeah.
Right? You don't want to potentially ruin a good thing brewing. That point in the game, though, like, desperation sets in. The Royals have always been historically an effective team. When you push, they get hyper aggressive. Now, I don't know if you can do that from a pitching standpoint. A lot of Lugo's walks, by the way, I think he was just, for whatever reason, he kind of broke. He late in his start, he lost his control. But I will say that, and we'll get into game three when we come, or game four when we come back, I would say you got to take the glove. You be old school 2014-15 Royals tonight, and you just get after it on the base. Any opportunity you get to put the pressure on the Yankees, you put the pressure on the Yankees.
That's what I was about to say, and we'll talk about it more in the next segment, that if you were a little bit defensive or conservative or whatever word you want to call it in game three, you can't do that tonight. Your back is up against the wall.
Yep.
You've got to just let it all hang out, be aggressive, do whatever you need to do.
With Cole on the mound,
yeah,
on the other
100%.
Side. All right, 869-1240, chime in, leave us your comments, leave us your voicemails. You can call the show. We'll talk a little betting coming up at the bottom hour. Three-man booth today, Albrock, Caster, Savage, Chad Chambers producing. It is Sports Daily. We appreciate Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up after a late night of baseball. We'll come back. We'll look ahead briefly to game four when we return.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Royals are in the Major League Baseball playoffs, and it's available for free right here on KFH and the Odyssey app. Tune in tonight, 6:30 coverage, as the Royals look to even that series against the Yankees and take it back to New York. You can simply download the Odyssey app if you don't have us over the air and search for KFH at game time. That's the goal tonight. Send it back to New York.
Good.
And you got to do it against one of the, you know, the best in the game, Gerrit Cole. The Royals got to him in the first game. The Yankees got to Michael Wacha in the first game. This is going to be, and I have not looked to see what Cotrero has said about this. I don't know if he'd tip his hand. I don't know if he said it very obviously, but I would think that this is a game you have to have Reagans on standby. Don't you think, Tommy? I believe he'd be on regular rest to pitch in this game. So I mean, I think you absolutely don't worry about game five until you know you can get there. And if Waka struggles at all, you got to look at bringing Reagans into this game.
Yeah, I think the only question then becomes, you know, if you do get to a game five, who starts that game? Is Lorenzen, could he do that? Or is Brady Singer, you know, available? I know that they both pitched in game three. So if that's the direction that you go with Reagans tonight, if you have to, then you've got to understand with your management of the rest of the pitchers who could be available in that game five. And I'm sure that, you know, probably in the back of Cuchero's mind, he's thinking, if we have to go to Reagans tonight, if something happens with Waka, we have to put Reagans out there, then I know that I can't pitch Lorenzen or I can't pitch Singer tonight because I've got to rest them for a game five potentially. But I'm not against the idea of, if needed, to go to Reagans. I wonder, though, the only thing that I think about with this, and ultimately it's probably the right move to go ahead and continue to roll through your rotation the way that you have it set. But if Reagans is on regular rest tonight, why don't you just start him then? Like,
I thought the same thing.
You know what I mean?
I thought the same thing. Because if it's, let's, it's, he pitched. He, when did he pitch?
He pitched on Monday.
So it's not regular rest, but it'd be fourth day. So it'd be a day early, but I think you do it. Waka's on regular rest. I don't have a problem going with Waka here. He's on regular rest. It's his spot. It saves. I get it, but I would have Reagans ready to pitch in this game. That's me. Cuchero knows his guys better than that. Maybe Reagans isn't equipped for that. He's also a guy who lost his command in game two. He's also a guy who had cramps in game in the last series. So maybe Cuchero thinks that's not a good idea. And I'm okay with that too.
Don't you think it's kind of the equivalent of in basketball when you've got that use it or lose it timeout? You know, if you don't use it before the half, you don't get it back. You know, so what I would hate to have happen is, and I don't know the conversations going on with the pitching staff and Brian Sweeney, the pitching coach, and all of that. If Reagan says that he's okay and he's ready to go and like he feels like he can get up and go for this game, he's your ace of the rotation. I would hate to leave him on the bench and not get to a game five. Right?
Yeah. I don't think they need, because Waka has been fine. I don't think they need to pitch Reagan's on 4 day, you know, on 1 day shorter rest, unless they need to, right? If they need to, if it's at any, like it's got to be a quick trigger to bring him out. The only thing is, like, has Reagans done that? I'd have to really look back. I don't know if he's ever pitched on short rest, any of those things. We know that Waka, his last time out, the Yankees got to him to some degree, 3 runs over 4 innings. The Royals have been, Cuchero's really not liking his guys to get very deep into these games. He just, you know, he's more comfortable with the bullpen, and that's proven to be pretty effective. Mm-hmm. I don't think Waka's given them more than 3 or 4 anyway. If he does, that's going to be great news for the Royals, right? I think if Waka's pitching in the fifth inning of this game, it has been a really good start to the game for the Royals. I think that's the scenario, Paul, because Cuchero has shown us in this series, his trigger is much, much quicker than it ever was in the regular season, and he's going to yank him quickly if he has any indication Waka's not going to be able to get through this thing.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the right thing to do. You know, the one thing that strikes me in this series that we haven't brought up is the name Aaron Judge. I mean, this has been a pretty quiet series for Aaron Judge. He hadn't been a factor. And it makes me wonder, Tommy, I mean, you know, you go – baseball's baseball. You go 4 games and you're sitting there with – you can win out in New York on Friday night. And Aaron Judge – is he due? I mean, that's the one factor that we're not covering on this, because he has not been a factor in any of these games up to this point. It makes me wonder, is this his game? I mean, you know, this is just an added factor for me to worry about. And by the way, you guys are so lucky to get to watch this game on Friday. I can't watch the game.
It's Saturday night.
Oh, it's Saturday.
So you could
night.
Watch it. Yeah,
I could watch it.
Is it
going to broadcast television Saturday if they... Not cable. Is that what you mean, Paul?
Well, that's. I thought it was a Friday night game, but I mean,
yeah, he'll be on the sideline.
Oh,
on
for
Friday
football,
night.
For
football. That's right.
I had some people angry that it wasn't over the air on a. You know, some people don't have cable. I would say this to your point on Aaron Judge, Paul. Yes, he's due. He's due because he's Aaron Judge, but there's no history that tells us he's Giancarlo Stanton in the postseason. His career batting average in the postseason, this is over 47 postseason games, is .203. So he's kind of not far off of his career average, what he's doing. He's been bad this year, but he's never been a great postseason hitter. So yeah, could he be? He also has 13 home runs in 47 games. So yes, he's on one hand, he's due, but on the other, their game plan for him has been right.
Yeah.
I think that he looks a lot like, and this might be the only time that this comparison is ever made. I think Aaron Judge, watching him in the batter's box over this series, looks a lot like the way Vinny Pasquantino looks in the batter's box. Like, they're pressing. I feel like they're both pressing. And it's for different reasons, right? Like, Aaron Judge is pressing because he's got the expectations to be the Yankees superstar, to be the one to have that defining moment. I mean, they've talked about it constantly on the broadcasts about Aaron Judge and his postseason moment, and it hasn't happened yet, and when is it going to happen? Pasquantino is pressing because he's coming off of an injury and he's trying to be effective for his team. So it's different. Totally different, but they're both pressing.
I think there's a difference in what Bob Costas wants for Aaron Judge and what Aaron Judge wants for Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think those are the same things.
But don't you think, I mean, I know, albeit different reasons, that both of these guys are pressing when they're up there to hit.
Yeah, for sure. Yes, they are. And I do think that the pressure is interesting because in reality, there is far less pressure on Judge internally because their lineup is more capable of picking him up. Pasquantino's pressure is very real. They need him in the middle of that lineup to be productive. They need it badly. That's why I would probably advocate, and I don't think this will happen, and I'm fine with it not happening. If I were in the chair, I would probably swap he and Gurriel in the lineup. Gurriel has been so effective in this series. So effective. He is clearly locked in. He was really good against Cole. I would swap them and try to do something to get those productive bats put together. Vinny just hasn't been there. And Vinny to me looks like he looked very early in this season, right? When he's not locked in, it's as Jekyll and Hyde as any player, I think. Like, Bobby Witt Jr. hasn't been productive, but he doesn't look, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it.
Uncomfortable? I would say uncomfortable would be the word that I would use.
Yeah,
and I think that with Pasquantino, I remember saying at the very beginning of the playoffs when we found out he was being activated that I didn't even need him to be productive because just his presence in the lineup would make a difference. And I've come off of that now because
I think it was true in the Baltimore series.
But that was assuming that Bobby Witt Jr. was going to be able to have a productive series. And he hasn't really. I mean, he got his first hit of the series last night. So that only works if you've got the other pieces of the middle of that lineup hitting. And they're not right now to that level. At least Bobby Witt Jr. is not. So I wouldn't be opposed to a change in the lineup to try to get some kind of spark going for tonight, knowing that, you know, it's a make it or break it type situation.
I just think you have to leave it all on the table tonight. And obviously they will. It's an elimination game. I want to, in the second hour, we'll have PJ Glasser coming up next, talk a little football betting. I do want to have us guess at how much pressure we think they feel. Is that in their DNA to even feel pressure? Because I think that's interesting. I think it's important to what we think their chances are tonight, as we evaluate that game and guess at it. They're fairly large underdogs at home as baseball goes. So we'll get into that a little bit as we make our way through. When we come back, we'll look at some betting. We got Thursday night football. What does PJ Glasser think about K-State Colorado this weekend? And what are some of his other favorite bets? That's our betting insider. That's next on Sports Daily. Keep it here. We'll be right back.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
All right, Welcome back into Sports Daily, everybody, as we get you rocking and rolling and ready for some football tonight and into the weekend. Maybe a little baseball here as we welcome in our betting insider, PJ Glasser, on the line. It is the host of Send It In and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the Send It In podcast for more analysis. Just search Send It In wherever you find your podcast. PJ, topically speaking, folks around here are locked in and now concerned today, I would say, about the Royals. But I would also say this to you. They have been very fruitful this postseason because other than last night, they have been underdogs in every game, which means you get plus money. Do you think plus money tonight to send the series back to New York is a good way to look at it?
Yeah, I do. I would like the Royals tonight, guys. I think they get the job done. Their starting pitching pretty much all postseason has been really, really good. I thought Lugo had another good performance last night. Stanton just kind of had the big home run in the eighth inning to win that game. Gerrit Cole's on the mound tonight for the Yankees. This is why the Yankees gave Cole all that money a couple of years ago, was for games like this, moments like this, when you have a chance to close out a series and move on to the next round. But as you guys know, I mean, Waka has been really solid for Kansas City this season. And, you know, Bobby Witt hasn't really gotten going yet in this series. And you just figure it's only a matter of time until he kind of breaks out, has that big extra base hit to kind of get the Royals going. So I always thought the Royals would give the Yankees maybe a tougher series than a lot of people thought they would. I like them to send this back to New York for a decisive game five. So, yeah, I do like the Royals tonight at plus 125.
It's been a good bet all postseason for them, clearly, as they've been better than people expect. We'll see. Let's look at Thursday night football, PJ. You've got a fun one. It's a rivalry game. A lot of injuries on both sides of the ball for both teams. So when I look at this, and I know this is anti-Thursday night football over a large period of time, but look at last Thursday night football and what happened. This to me seems like a game where all your same game parlays, like player props, I think the guys that do play are going to kind of pile it up a little bit in this game. I don't know if they're getting over 49.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join M-I-D-I mindfultherapygroup.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Nine, because that's a big number, but I like the Niners, and I like a lot of the player props tonight.
It's an interesting game, guys. You know, Seattle's defense was one of the best in the NFL the first 3 weeks, and then these last couple weeks against the Lions, certainly on Monday night a couple weeks ago, and then against the Giants last week, just hasn't been as good. Jacob, you mentioned all the injuries that are in this game. Seattle's defense has their fair share, but their offense has been good. I think they'll be able to score in this game. San Francisco, I see the same kind of thing. So, look, the Niners are in an interesting spot in their season, right? They're 2-3, tough divisional road game tonight against Seattle. And then, as you guys know, the following week, they play Kansas City in a Super Bowl rematch. So, if they're not careful, I mean, they very easily could be 2-5 potentially. I think you're going to get a good performance out of the Niners. They won 5 straight against Seattle. It feels like the last couple of years, these games have always been in prime time as well. These Niners Seahawks games in Seattle, they played on Thanksgiving. They played on Thursday night. Like, the Niners are used to going into Seattle in prime time, which, as we know, is one of the tougher environments to play at night. So they seem to handle that well. Purdy's played well there in the past. He's played really well this season. I think what you're seeing with San Francisco, guys, and why they're not able to close these games out late is because of the injury to McCaffrey. You know, when you don't have the best running back in football and you can't lean on him the final 5 minutes of a game, it's making it really tough for them to close out these games. So I don't know if I'd lay 3.5 just because it is a divisional game on the road. I like the Niners to win. I would take them on the money line at -190, and then I would maybe look in at parlaying them with one of these other games on the NFL board, because I do like quite a few favorites this week in the NFL, and I think you can get some good money line options with the Niners and maybe one of these other teams to play on Sunday.
You know, PJ, Paul Savage here. Glad to have you on the show again. Hey, you know something? When I look at the roster of opportunities to make some money on, I like a game that others may look and say, boy, I'm not sure how to pick that. And I'm not sure I know how to pick it. But the Commanders and the Ravens looks to be an interesting game. First of all, you got probably – do I dare say after 4 or 5 games that the Commanders have maybe one of the most dynamic quarterbacks, maybe of the future? I don't know. Maybe so, maybe not. I don't know. But, man, how do you pick that game? Right now the Commanders are getting 6.5 points. Does that seem right to you? Because that seems extremely high to me, which kind of makes you want to make this bet, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's an interesting line, Paul, no doubt about it. Guys, I've been living in this area my whole life. I'm a Ravens fan. I've never seen so much excitement around the Commanders, so much excitement around this matchup. I mean, Nance and Romo, we know, are the number one CBS broadcast crew. They're doing this game on Sunday, yeah, which kind of tells you how well Daniels has been playing, how well the Commanders have been playing. I actually think this game's going to go one of two ways. I think the Commanders can win this game outright, or I think the Ravens are going to kill them, to be quite honest with you. Lamar Jackson is 21-1 against the NFC, guys. He's 21-1. You saw him beat Dallas earlier this season. You saw him dismantle the Niners last year. You saw him beat up on Seattle. You saw him beat up on Detroit. Like, this is what the Ravens do when they go up against NFC teams. The big reason is because Lamar is one of one. Like, his combination of speed and all the different things that they run, these NFC teams that see him once every 4 years, they don't know how to defend it. What makes this matchup so great, though, is that if there was anybody who's close to Lamar, it's the quarterback on the other team and Jaden Daniels, right? So both defenses practice against the guy that they're going to be seeing on the other side of the field on Sunday, which is why I actually like the under in this game.
Okay.
Because of both quarterbacks, both offenses, the way that they're playing right now, I think everybody naturally is just going to want to bet the over. Ravens have one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL. Commanders have one of the worst run defenses. But the fact that both quarterbacks have such a similar skill set, I actually think is going to help both defenses in this matchup. So it's a high total, guys. 52, 51.5. The under is the play that I like the best.
That's really interesting. And there is some history, right? When NFL games get into the 50s, because they never really go higher than what, like 53, 54.
Yeah.
I know at one point there was a trend that those games can get over that, but you know, but yeah, I haven't thought about it that way. Boy, Daniels looks good. And he does look like Lamar. They're a lot alike. Around the NFL. So we don't have the Chiefs this week, certainly, which is, you know, which is not fun for us here, but there are a lot of good games. Another one featuring two teams people feel like are, you know, contenders. Lions Cowboys, another really high total as well. Cowboys, I am very surprised by this one. You can get the Cowboys plus money at home against the Lions. It feels like all those, you know, we remember when the Cowboys and all their lines seemed skewed and all that. I think that's all out the window. That's hard for me to even say out loud. That seems weird to me.
I mean, what's crazy, Jacob, and you know, as a Cowboys fan, I mean, they're 0-2 at home this season and they're 3-0 on the road. Usually the other way around. They're normally a great home team. I actually like Detroit in this game, you guys, for a couple reasons. The first one is they're coming off a bye week and they're going on the road. In the NFL, you always like taking teams that are coming off a bye and going on the road just because they're more focused, right? You're not dealing with like 2 weeks of being at home and dealing with all the chores and dealing with everything. You got to go on the road. You got to get on a plane. You got to lock in much quicker. But the revenge angle in this game, I think, is so important. If you guys remember when these two teams played last year towards the end of the regular season, the Lions got screwed when one of their offensive linemen, Dan Skipper, came in for a two-point conversion, and he told the official Brad Allen that he was eligible. He brushed across his chest, and he caught the touchdown, and the official said he was ineligible. Every time you watch a Lions game when they're at home and Dan Skipper checks in, there's always a mock cheer from the Detroit crowd because of that play. That play and that game has stuck with the Lions fans. It's stuck with the players. And now they finally get to go back to Dallas and make amends for that game last season. So I think Detroit has been wanting Dallas for a while. I think they use that extra week of prep for their bye to really make sure they're ready to go in this game. And look, Dallas still has injuries, right, to their defensive line. And when you're going up against the best offensive line in football and a Lions offense that looks like it maybe got it rolling when we saw them last against Seattle, I like Detroit, fellas. I would grab the -3 because I think this game closes at 3.5.
That's interesting. All right. What else on the NFL slate? What are some of your favorite plays on Sunday?
So, guys, my favorite bet, believe it or not, in the NFL this week is going to be the Carolina Panthers +6 against the Falcons. I think they have a chance to win this game outright. There are three reasons why I like Carolina so much. The first one is the matchup. Andy Dalton is one of those quarterbacks that, when he doesn't get pressure, he's very good. And when he does get pressure, like we saw last week against Chicago, he's not very good. Atlanta's the second worst in the league in generating pressure. So I think Dalton's going to have time and he's going to be able to make plays. The second reason I like it so much is Atlanta's schedule has been so brutal through the first 5 weeks. Open up the season against Pittsburgh. Week 2, Monday Night Football against the Eagles. Week 3, Sunday night against the Chiefs. Divisional game against the Saints. Then they had that thriller last Thursday night against the Bucks. They played 3 primetime games, a divisional game, the season opener. It's like they've had no room to really breathe the first 5 weeks of the season. Now they go on the road and they're playing arguably the worst team in football. I think this could very easily be a letdown spot for the Falcons. And then the third reason is the spread. The look-ahead line in this game was 3. Now it's all the way up to 6 because the Panthers look so bad against Chicago. Guys, the Falcons haven't been leading by 7 points at any point this season. And now they're laying 6 on the road. And we know how great big underdogs have been doing in the NFL this year. So I think a lot of people are going to look at this game, Atlanta-Carolina, and want nothing to do with it. But I think there's great value on the Panthers this week. I think there's a shot that they pull off the upset. So it's my favorite bet this week, fellas, Carolina.
There you go. Well, let's shift gears, if you don't mind, to college football. An interesting game. I'm really curious how you're going to break this thing down, because I'll tell you what, I am befuddled by K-State and Colorado. I look at that game right now, and I think to myself, you know, Colorado could win this game by 3 touchdowns, but so could Kansas State. I really don't know how to play this game. Right now, K-State's given 4 points. Over-under is 56.5. Would you tell me how to play this game? Because I'm not sure I know how to do it.
Guys, it's going to, can I tell you, like, honestly, outside of Oregon and Ohio State, I think this is the game I'm most looking forward to watching on Saturday.
Oh,
like,
yes.
I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be that good. I really do. I think the environment there at Boulder is going to be awesome. Their offense, I mean, they can score, but it's their defense that's been getting better week after week. At the end of the day, it really all comes down to Avery Johnson and if he's able to make plays through the air, because Colorado's pass defense is gettable. And if he was able to make plays through the air, then I think K-State can have some success. I do think they're better, especially on both lines of scrimmage. And in a game like this, where the environment is going to be so good and it's a big game for both teams, at the end of the day, I think that's what it comes down to. Kansas State's ability to run the football. I trust their defense with a couple weeks of prep as well. So I would take K-State, guys. I'd lay the 4 with them, honestly. I think it's going to be a really good game. But I think we all kind of wrote off Colorado early in the season because of how they finished last year. And it looked like their defense was the same old Colorado. Now they've won a couple games in a row against Baylor and UCF, two teams that I don't really think are all that great. And it feels like a lot of people now are jumping back on the Colorado bandwagon. They're playing one of the better teams in the Big 12. And I think Kansas State, I think they get the win. I think they cover. So it's going to be a great game. Can't wait to watch. But I'd take K-State.
And the over-under at 56.5 seems gettable to me, too. I think a little bit of shootout city, PJ. K-State's been selling out to stop the run against a lot of teams, and it's been effective for them, right? Drive-stopping plays on passing downs. If they do that again, Colorado's probably going to make big plays, and I think they'll still try to do it and allow that to happen, but try to get off the field with sacks and interceptions. So we're with you, man. We're very excited. We have had that one circled for a while. I'm kind of glad it's late. Just keep in mind what happened to K-State at BYU in that late-night window. What else in the college slate has you intrigued? What are some of your favorite plays on Saturday?
Yeah, so I like USC plus the points against Penn State. It was at 5.5. Now it's down to 4.5. Guys, keep this in mind. In the Big Ten, obviously with these West Coast schools joining a bunch of these schools in the Midwest, we all wonder what that midweek travel would be like and what it would be like for these teams like Washington going to Rutgers or going to Northwestern, whatever it may be. So far this season, teams that have had to travel through time zones where there is a 2 or 3 hour difference, they're 1-7 straight up. And that's what Penn State faces this week when they have to go across the country to USC. So it's very real for these teams that obviously have to make some cross-country road trips. So I think just traveling across the country is going to be brutal for Penn State. I also like getting USC off of a loss against Minnesota. I think it's going to have them more prepared. It's going to have them more focused, ready to go. USC could be undefeated, guys. They should have beaten Michigan a month ago. They should have beaten Minnesota last week. So this is a team that very easily could be undefeated. If that was the case, I think this spread would be closer to like 2.5 or something like that. Instead, we're getting well over a field goal. So I like the Trojans. They're very good at home. This is by far the best offense that Penn State's going to see all season. And their defense, as we know, has been much improved. So I like that game. And then give me West Virginia plus the 3 against Iowa State as well. Morgantown's just one of those places that's really tough to place to play at night. I think they match up well with Iowa State. You know, the Cyclones know who they are. We talk about identity in football all the time. Iowa State wants to play defense. They want to run the football. They want to win the turnover battle. It's a very tough thing to do on the road at night in Morgantown. So I like West Virginia. I think they have the best player on the field in Garrett Green, their quarterback in that game. So give me the Mountaineers plus 3. USC plus 5.5, two plays I really like this week.
I've got a play.
All right,
for
PJ, you got one, Paul, real
just
quick.
Just real quick, we're real quick. Here's my play of the week, Vanderbilt and Kentucky. Vanderbilt getting 13.5 against Kentucky, Kentucky at home. I kind of like Kentucky in this, and it's a for sure deal because what a letdown it was. You know, you beat the number one team in the country, and you turn around and play, you're getting 13.5. That's not enough points, is it?
Paul, I absolutely love it. It's almost like the transitive property game, right? Like Vandy got Bama off the ultimate letdown after that game against Georgia. And now here's Vandy off of their letdown, right?
Bingo.
Against Bama. It's the same thing. That's why I loved Vandy last week, because that you knew Bama was going to have a letdown after that Georgia win. I mean, guys, I think they're still carrying that goalpost across Nashville. You know, they're still partying after that game. So I'm with you, Paul. I love Kentucky minus 13.5 as well.
Can't blame them for partying. We'll be partying up late Saturday night watching K-State. PJ, we appreciate it. Thank you for the time. Thanks for the tips. Let's all make some money.
Absolutely. Good luck, guys. Talk to you next week.
As the host of Send It In and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser, those insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. All right, let's start one of our text-to-win contests. We'll do HTO in the first hour today, and we'll do a free iced tea, more than 20 flavors for you. We'll do a free iced or hot coffee featuring free rain coffee for you. These are good for any of the three Wichita Metro locations, east, west, or in Derby. And you can win right now by texting the keyword TTEA to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. When we come back, Tommy will rejoin. So will our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald. We sort of set the table for you from a betting perspective there with PJ. Now we'll dig into it in what should be one of the premier games of the week. I think the ratings on this thing are going to be high. I think all eyes will be on the Cats this weekend. We'll talk about it next with Tim Fitzgerald when Sports Daily rolls into hour number two.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.